Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for another day. We thank you for your grace that is greater than our need today. And Father, we know we need you. We need you. We need you. Hallelujah, Father, we need you. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Ooh. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. I need him. I need him. You need him this morning?
Oh, yes.
And we need to come to him this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you, there's much happening in the world. Two things happened this morning just kind of made me go, okay, God, you're real. Life is real. Death is real, but death has no sting to those who know him. One of my best friends in Austin, Texas, her mother went home to be with Jesus this morning. And then going back after eating breakfast, and Anita showed me a little news clip that a man walked into a Waffle House in Antioch, took off his coat, butt naked, and started shooting up the place.
What?
Yes, Antioch. Listen to me. Demonic. I don't care what anybody has to say. Demonic. Mental illness is real, don't get me wrong. But some of mental illness is very much demonic. Listen to me. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's mentally ill has a demon. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying there is a war going on. And in order for a spiritual being to have rightful access in the earth, it needs an earth suit. If God Almighty, and God is spirit, it says in John 4:24, and those who worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So God is Pneuma. We're going somewhere with prayer today. If God is Pneuma, and those who worship him must worship him in Pneuma and in truth. Are you with me? And then it says that he is the Hagios Pneuma. That's the word for holy. Holy is an adjective that describes the spirit. Amen? So if holy is the adjective that describes the spirit, there is a Holy Spirit. That's why it says that those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly or diligently seek him. Amen? The thing we don't understand sometimes is that God is the holy God. Why? Because there are other gods that people worship. Are you following me still? There are other spirits, and sometimes we ignore that, but they're real. But our God is greater. That every spirit has to bow its knee to the Almighty God. Every spirit does. But if you don't recognize it, it can wreak havoc in your world. So when we pray... God gives us the ability by the Holy Spirit to pray. When we don't even know what to pray, the Spirit himself prays on our behalf what the will of God is. Isn't that awesome? Even when we don't even know what to pray, the Spirit of God prays through us. Thank you. But I am telling you, there are some other spirits. And that's why we'll see one of the roles today is, there's a such thing, by the way, it's called warfare prayer. But the neat thing is, it's God's war, it's not ours. We pray to invoke the angels to do what God told them to do on our behalf. They come to minister to the heirs, amen, of salvation, man and woman. Because when you spell heir, amen, the I am is in the middle of he and her. So, it's a amen. He made male and female, created he him. Meaning the Holy Spirit was designed to live inside an earthen vessel before time began. Keep that in mind. Remember we said last week, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, right? God Almighty came to earth in an earthen vessel, born of a virgin, to show us what his kingdom would be like on earth as it is in heaven, how it's to be fleshed out in an earthen vessel on earth. That's what Christ came to do. That's why I said he is our model, our mentor, and shares the message of the kingdom. I did remember them this week. Amen. So, but I do want you to understand that this whole prayer piece, why do we pray? It's our communication with God the Father, and Jesus showed us how it should be mapped out. And so we're going to look at that through his word today. Amen?
Amen.
I just love the word of God. This week I got to talk to the youth rush about the good shepherd. Amen. And there's one thing. Who needs a shepherd? Sheep need a shepherd. I did that little illustration. I kind of forgot I was with middle schools, and then this one girl kept doing it the whole time. I'm like, okay, come on, reel back with me. I said, okay, all right, hold off the sound. I'm going to let you do it one more time when I do this speech, but then we got to stop, okay? But see, sometimes you got to remember who you're talking to, the cheering. All right, this is the one picture. Well, I showed several, but I want you to see this. He calls us a sheep of his pasture. And I want you to look at this. Sheep need full-time supervision because they're defenseless. Amen? We need a shepherd because sheep are not designed to fight. And there is an adversary. And in this case, it was the wolf, who he alluded to as the thief. Amen? The thief comes to do what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
And he was talking at that time, beginning to introduce himself as the good shepherd. Why? Because a shepherd looks after his flock. He does most of the work because sheep don't know what to do. Sheep don't know what to do. And one of the things we'll talk about today is about solitude and how we have prayer time. We have to learn to get away from the distraction. We're going to get to that today. But one thing about sheep, there's some great illustrations in here. And one of them, I love it because he does things in such a way that when you... I love this one. Is that sheep, they're afraid to drink from running water. Because running water is very loud. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, you couldn't hear people talking to you because the water is so loud. But the other thing about running water is a sheep has wool. And the thicker the wool, you know, the heavier it is on the sheep. And when wool gets wet, it's very heavy. And if you're by running water and your wool gets wet, you'll get swept under and you'll drown. Sheep don't like to drink from running water. And sometimes the running water of noise and distraction drowns out the truth of God's word and his presence. Are you still with me? So there are, I just love the fact that everywhere he shows us himself throughout the word, he didn't waste words. The Bible said that if everything Jesus did were written down in the book, that the books of the world, if everything that Jesus did were written down, it says that the books of the world could not contain it. So that means that the Holy Spirit literally handpicked what we were to read. So nothing is in there by accident. Amen? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word today. Let's look at the number one thing there. It says, prayer is a time to do what?
Commune
with God. The psalmist says, when you said, seek my face, the response says, my what said to you? Now, remember I told you last week in the Jewish culture what two words are used interchangeably? Yes, heart and mind, right? So he's saying in his heart, in his thoughts, because they've been yielded to him, I will seek your face. Now, face is not necessarily, we think the face like this, face to face. But sometimes, listen to me carefully, it's the countenance of someone. The attitude or the temperament of someone. I want to seek who you are, God. I want to know who you are. See, because there's one thing, there's one verb or adjective, I guess. Is it an adverb? What's the word? Oh, it's actually a preposition, isn't it? About is a preposition, right? About, above, across, after, against, among, around, at. It's a preposition. So, I learned my sixth grade teacher. So don't tell me the teacher of all teachers can't teach you something that you can't remember. I don't care. Okay, so about. This one word changes this verse. Somebody tell me, you probably know this. John 17:3. What does it say? For this is life eternal, or another translation, for this is eternal life, that they may what?
Know you,
the only true God. See, only true God is the holy God, right? Because there are other gods. That they might know you. I can put this one word in there and change the whole verse. To know about you. I can know about somebody but not know them. To know somebody intimately is, remember, the Bible says, see, religious people, according to what we know from the text, religious people know the, watch now. What do they know about God? See, the Bible says the children of Israel knew the what of God. Moses knew his what? Who knows the text? It's a text. It's, Moses knew his ways, right? What did the children, what did it say of the children of Israel? Come on, Nita, I know you know this verse. Children of Israel knew what? Ooh. Watch this. They knew his works. They knew what he did. They knew what he did. We know how to do ministry. But Moses knew his ways. Moses, because he talked to God, what? Face to face. He knew the countenance of God. He knew the attitude of God. Because when God begins to teach us about prayer, the first time it's written in the text of which we see it in the way the Gospels are laid out, he spoke to the lost sheep of the house of Jerusalem. He was talking to the Jewish culture. In what text, what Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, is he talking to the Jewish people?
Matthew.
Matthew was written to the Jewish culture. And in Matthew, it starts out after he comes out of the desert, right? He'd been in the desert warring on our behalf before we even got here, amen? And then it says, you go right into what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he starts with the Beatitudes, right? You know what comes right behind the Beatitudes? In Matthew chapter 6, when you pray. This is how you pray. This is how your attitude should be. Now I'm going to teach you about prayer. And another gospel shows us that he went alone to prayer, which we're going to see in another context here. And when Peter and the disciples came to see him early in the morning, he was praying and they saw him praying. And then Peter says, Jesus, teach us to pray. Because they realized something happened when he prayed. And the part that I want you to get here is that when we come to him, we're not coming, we're coming, yes, to hear his voice, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but we're coming to get to know who this God is. Amen? Because you can't introduce somebody to somebody you don't know. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever, like, you see somebody and you know you're supposed to know their name? Like, Allah. And they're coming my direction. You just like, and so you know if they're saying, like, hey, how you doing, brother? Good to see you, brother. You cut it off before you know you got to call their name. And so then, you know, there's a little trick you do, you know. And I had to do this the other night. I was trying to save a friend because she did. She goes, oh, I just interviewed this family today. And she goes, I just can't remember the name. I said, I got you. I got you. Here's what you do. We come up and you say, hey, it's so good to see you. I want to introduce you to, and then I'll step in. I say, hi, I'm Dr. Renee Rochester, the Director of Student Academic Support, and you are? And then to go, oh, okay, I got that name. I'm like, we there, girl, we there. See, because they got ways, you got to do this thing. But you know how we do? You know when you forget somebody's name, you're like, oh my gosh, I know their name, but you don't. But what's so cool? But it's hard to introduce somebody to somebody else that you don't know anything about them, you know? But, ooh, that name, that's for real. I ain't gonna lie. Ooh. It's like, hey, brother, good to see you, sister. Or what about when you're praying for somebody, you know? Have you ever sat in a small group and somebody asked you to pray and you cannot think of their name? You called everybody's name, but that happens from time to time. And you have to kind of reel back like, Father, I thank you that you know all of our needs in this room. You know, you just got to find a way to go there. Yeah. But it's funny, but that happens. But there's something about when you know somebody by name and you know them well enough that you can introduce somebody. This is my friend, Anita. I can tell you a lot about Anita. She's a gardener.
I've got a brown thumb. She's got a green thumb. Really good. I can't keep a plant. I got one plant to keep alive in my house. And it just, anyway. But there's so many things I can tell you about her because we've grown in relationship with one another. And there'll be a lot of things you'll tell people about the Lord when you've grown in relationship with him. So one of the things about seeking his face is that you know his heart. You know his countenance. You know what he's like. Amen. So when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face I will seek. Noah Webster defined to commune as a word to converse or talk together with familiarity. See, you're familiar with somebody. Ah, that's my father. He is so good. That's why Jesus said when you pray, he said, pray what? Our what? Father. You see, because he wanted them to understand that when you came to him, to us as believers, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called what? Children, sons of God. So he says, when you come to him, you come like a child comes to his father. Because I've already paved the way for you, which we're going to get to in a minute. He paved the way for us by and through the blood of Jesus. We don't come on our own initiative. We don't come on our own account. We come because our Father sent his Son. He poured the blood on the mercy seat for us to give us access into the throne room. That's when the veil, remember, was rent from what? Top to bottom, recognizing only God rent that veil, said, come. Come to me. Come. And Jesus reiterates it when he says, come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, overburdened, I'll give you rest. We're going to go there in a little bit. But he welcomes us to come. I love the fact that Pentecost Sunday is coming up. And when the priest would go in to the Holy of Holies to pour that sacrifice, and he wore a little like a lasso. See, I lived in Texas for a long time. Hook 'em horns, I ran track and all there. But they would tie, there was a rope tied around the legs of the priest. Because if he went in and he wasn't clean, wasn't holy, he'd drop dead in the presence of a holy God. And they'd have to pull him out. And he had bells at the bottom of his robe so that when he came out, you could hear the sound coming out of the Holy of Holies, right? You could hear the sound. Well, I'm here to tell you, when Jesus poured the blood on the altar, when he came out of the Holy of Holies, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, there was a loud noise come from heaven. Because he came on out, on our behalf so that we can go in. Ah, another day, another time. Woo-wee. Okay, calm down. But when we know we can come, not on on what we did. Some people, well, I spent 4 hours in prayer today, this morning, before I started my day. I said, God bless your heart. I wish I had that kind of time. I'd never be able to sleep because I'd have to get up and go to work, you know, and I wouldn't sleep. But maybe that's not all bad, but I don't think the human body can do all that. But I think sometimes, and I'm not saying that, because there are some people that really did do that. God really did move, and he does move through prayer. But I'm saying that it's not the ritual of what we do. It's the fact that, see, we go spend time with God. The real miracle is that he met with us. Yeah. That he showed up. Whew. Yeah. Mercy. Oh, mercy. My soul follows hard after you. Your soul, your psyche, how I think, how I feel, what I desire to do. I want to follow hard after you. My heart, my whole being. You remember, you're going to follow somebody. After I finished talking about the shepherd this week, Pastor Corey said something that was so powerful. I talked about how the shepherd would go find the lost sheep. The sheep would be rejoicing because he's caught in the thickest, can't get out himself. Wet wool, stuck to the thorns, and in a cave, just hiding and waiting. Help, help, help. And then when the shepherd finally gets him, you found me, you found me. He's so excited that he was found. And this is what Pastor Corey said. He said, sometimes when you're rescued and delivered, you follow hard after the one who rescued you. I'm like, oof. I said, you better preach that, you know, but they had to dismiss and go to the groups. But that was so rich. But that's why those who have been forgiven much, delivered from much, set free from much, love much. Oof, grateful hearts. Amen. All right. Number two, prayer is a lifestyle, a lifestyle, a lifestyle, a lifestyle. I love this part. I think a lifestyle is that you just don't even hesitate to pray. Last night, we were at a birthday party of a friend of ours, It was her 60th birthday party. Her husband and family, sisters flew in. I mean, they laid it out nice. It was at a clubhouse in the subdivision they live in. It was just wonderful. And her daughter came over to me, and she goes, I should have sent you a note, but I didn't. She goes, but do you mind, before we cut the cake, will you mind just praying a blessing for my mother? And she goes, then she said, just do what you do. She was such a, just do what you do. And, you know, in season, out of season. But if you don't have familiarity, and you don't have a lifestyle of prayer, see, you can't call on the one, and he will breathe through you. And that's what I just started praying. And I mean, the Spirit of God fell on me, and the word just flowed in prayer. It was a sweet, sweet time. And this woman I'd never met before, she came up to me. God be my witness. You were there, you saw her. I'd never met this white woman before. It was a little high. She came up, and she goes, who are you? I need to get to know you. I'm like, doo, 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 doo. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I'm like, okay, who you is? Right. Who your people? No, I didn't say that. But something drew her, and it was the Spirit of God. Because the word will roll out of you if it's in you because you've been in conversation. You ever been around a friend so much you start talking like them? You start saying the stuff they say? You'll go to a new city. You ain't been there long. I mean, I went to England. Not this Negro. Oh, excuse me. This child. I'm so sorry. I am not from England. But, you know, you start doing stuff. You'll start saying, hello, you know. Good day. That's Australia. But you'll start picking up little antics. You follow what I'm saying? And you know you ain't from that place. Like, sorry? Like, instead of pardon me, sorry? You just start doing stuff because you've been there and you've been around those people. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, stop, Renee, stop. But it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes real to you. A life of prayer is characterized by devotion. Acts 2:42. You know this. If you did the purple book, this was that verse that came after the repentance piece where it says, you know, that you'd be baptized filled with the Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes right into, and they continued in prayer and devotion. The key here is that they continued. Amen. They are continually devoting themselves to prayer, Acts 4:32. And then it says, I love this. I want you to read this verse. Go to Colossians 4:12. This verse is powerful. I don't think it's written out there for you, is it? Okay, Colossians 4:12, it's a great verse, and I think I shared this term with you before, but this is a neat verse. It's talking about Epaphras, who is one of you. Who's got that? Colossians 4:12.
Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus, Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for
you. Stop right there. He is always what in prayer for you? He's always wrestling in prayer for you. Now watch. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and forces of wicked rulers of heavenly places, right? Greco-Roman wrestling, now remember, this is Colossia. Greco-Roman wrestling was done on your hands and knees. If you ever go to a wrestling match, you know they start, you know, one's down, one's up, they're on their hands and knees. Well, we wrestle. That whole passage in Ephesians was about prayer. You put on the whole armor of God to wrestle in prayer. Because the word says, after take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, next verse, and pray at all times in petition. Listen to this. Pray at all times in petition with supplication for the saints. You put on the armor of God to pray for your brothers and sisters. Why? Because the book of Ephesians was trying to bring two different cultures together that never would have come together. And talking to them about walking in unity. And talking to them about loving one another and forgiving one another. That's why Ephesians chapter 4 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. So he tells them, now, once you put on that armor, because it's a we thing, not a me thing in the book of Ephesians. He's telling the body, when you put up that shield of faith, they link their shields together so that every body was protected. And if one stepped out of line, somebody could get wounded. When one fell, they would pick him up and keep marching and protect him with the shields. So he tells them here, it's a body thing that I want you to see. The wrestling piece, we wrestle to pray. Because the one part of the armor that you did not, that it does not mention in Ephesians chapter 6 is a lance or a spear or a javelin. It doesn't mention the javelin or the spear, but it does mention what it does. Because after you take up the sword of the Spirit, he says, and he says, and pray at all times in the Spirit. Watch this. I need you, Gavin. I used you last week. You sit on the front row. You get picked on. I'm sorry. But what you would do, because the soldiers, come on, the soldiers would march. Everybody's back was covered. They were in turtle formation. Six across this way, six across that way, six in the back, six in the middle holding up shields, and six this way. But they would march in tandem, all going in the right direction. But soldiers' backs, back to back, were covered by another soldier. So if Gavin is going through something, if Gavin's going through difficulty, I take up my lance, my javelin, and I see that enemy coming because I've been in prayer and petition for my brother. Now I throw my lance on his behalf. Father, I thank you for Gavin. I pray for grace and favor for that door to open, the things he's believing you for. Father, open that door. See, if we're in relationship with one another, because the soldiers marched together, walked together, ate together. I spent time, thank you so much, I spent time when I played basketball with News Release. We spent 14 days in Butzbach, Germany. And we would go and we would do our warm-up before we would play the women's teams. We'd play battalion teams. It was a big deal. The women's, you know, it was like an all-star women's team playing there. But we watched them during the day. They did everything together. So they knew each other well. So you knew. That's why when you see a fallen soldier, you see the others broken and you see the PTSD now. It's because they were watching not just people wounded and killed. They were watching people that they lived life together with, fought with, had each other's backs, and it broke them. But this picture is so powerful because when you're in relationship with somebody, now you go home, you go your way, God brings them to your mind, and you'd be driving, all of a sudden you know to hurl your lance of intercession for that individual. But you couldn't do it if you weren't in relationship with them. And that's why he called brothers, by the way, I believe, first, disciples, and he talked to them about loving one another, covering one another, praying for one another. Prayer changes things because it changes us. Amen? Ooh, I just don't have time. But that word there, wrestling is the word, I shared it last, a couple weeks ago, agonizomai. It's sometimes you agonize through in prayer. Agonizomai. Amen? It means to contend with or to contend with an adversary. And here's a neat thing. When you pray here on earth, something happens in heaven. You know that, right? Here we are on earth, in our little earthen vessel, lifting hands up to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that sister girl, she doing the same. Okay. So, we praise him on earth. When we pray, the Bible says that God does what? The praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. So when we're praying on earth, there's something happening. Now, you know, the word says, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to show you a picture of why prayer is so powerful. When you pray, don't you know that God rents the heavens when you pray? Because the bowl of incense, if you know anything about the tabernacle, it's the prayers of the saints. And you got to get by the bowl of incense before you can get into the Holy of Holies. So you got to pray to see his face. Come on, somebody. Now watch. When you pray, the Bible says that, go to 1 Corinthians. You just need to see this. And I think this will make sense to you. I pray it will. Because you'll see why Jesus, number three, lived a life of prayer. Why he lived it. Because see, he was there before, by the way. Yeah, go to, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. My bad. I get so excited I forget where I'm going. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. We're still talking about prayer because prayer is communication. Prayer is opening up the lines of heaven. Amen. Prayer is operating so that God and his angels who are sent on your behalf can do what they do. See, when we bow our knee, the angels can stand up. But when we're standing up, the angels bow down. They're waiting on us. Now, here's what I want you to see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it's about verse 3. Somebody read verse 3. Who's there? Read verse 3. Though we walk in the what? Flesh. Right here. We're in this little earth suit because you need an earth suit, the flesh, to live on earth. Sarxis is the word, like muscle. And a muscle stimulated. In other words, your senses. We're going to talk about this in a minute. Your senses, because I'm going to show you how Jesus trained his senses to hear the voice of God. Now watch. Earth suit. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't what? What does it say?
We do not war according to the flesh.
Ooh, we don't war according to the flesh. So we're not warring here on earth. What we do is we posture ourselves, make connection, get in the frequency so that the spiritual realm and God's holy angels and God himself can do what he does. And not only does the Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf, but the Bible says that Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. If he's seated at the right hand of the Father, you pray, you with me? Your prayers reach the portals of glory, all right? He turns to the Father, tells the Father what's going on. The Father says, okay, son, tell my angelic host to do this. You know, he sets things in motion from glory. Oh, I wish I could do this. Actually, Frank Peretti did it pretty good years ago in a book called This Present Darkness. But you see, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, though we don't war according to the flesh. You see it? For the weapons of our warfare, the word there is stratomei, and that's where we get stratosphere from. You know, there's a hemisphere, stratosphere. So between the glory, you know, God's throne room, however you want to look at it, you with me? Between there and earth, there is a, are you with me? There's a stratosphere. Now, in order for a spiritual being to have rightful access in the earth, it needs an earth suit. But before it gets to earth, it's waging war here. Are you following me?
Yeah.
It wages war here. How do I know? Go to Daniel chapter 10. Y'all stay with me. Y'all stay with me. I'm trying to give you a picture here. There's so much that happens in prayer. And what it does, it does so much. It allows the heaven, God's appointed angels. It allows God to align the heavens the way he wants to on your behalf. It allows you more intimate communication with him, because God will speak if we get still, because he says, be still and what? Know that I am. And he will not speak to you apart from his word. That's why we study the word. Are you following me still? Sometimes you'll say, well, the Lord told me, and it's something bizarre. And I'm like, no, it's probably the pizza you had for dinner last night, you know? Because God does speak, but it never contradicts the scripture. Never, ever, ever. Because if in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, it's got to coincide with the word, which is the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, who leads us and guides us into all truth. Now, he can lead and guide, but we don't always follow. That's the issue. It's not that he didn't lead, not that he didn't speak. We either didn't sit still enough to hear him, or we chose not to follow him. And he's such an awesome God because he's love. Love is not selfish. He's not going to make you do anything. He waits for you. Awesome God. Kind of blows me away that he would take this little knucklehead Renee that does her own thing most of the time and said, daughter, sometimes like he'll just, Renee. It's like, yes, sir, I know. I'm so sorry. All right. What happens, y'all, when we pray? Daniel chapter 10. Did you go there?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to see something. Remember, we wage war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and what? And I'm going to show you why, because the next number is Jesus lived a life of prayer, why he did that. Because you have to understand, Jesus, all he had in his earthly self was the Old Testament of what we know today. The words of the prophets, the words of Moses. Are you following me? And they had to know it. Little Jewish boys had to know it. And obviously he mastered it, because remember last week he said he wasn't sent home. He wasn't sent home to learn the trade of his father. That's when he recognized, oh, I got to be about my father's business. In Daniel chapter 10, I think it might be, yeah, what does it say in verse 11? Read.
And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent.
Okay, stop right there. Unto thee am I now what?
Now sent.
Now, what had he been doing when this being, you're going to see in a minute, has said, I am now sent? Daniel had been praying for 21 days, fasting and praying. Okay? And now watch what happens, because he prayed. Go ahead.
And now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for
from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand.
Stop right there. Remember? My heart said, I will seek your face. From the first day you set your heart to understand, God was already moving. In other words, the minute that you lift up your eyes to the Lord and you pray, the minute you do that, God sends the answer. It says it came even before the words came out of your mouth, because God knows your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. He already knew it. So he sends something. But, everybody say, but. But. Uh-huh. Now watch. This is so powerful to me.
And from the heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard.
Thy words were what?
Heard.
Did God hear it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days.
Stop right there. There was a, remember, we wage war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and what? Principalities. What he's saying, now, I heard Bishop Jake say something yesterday. They had their leadership conference this past weekend. And he said in the Old Testament, they fought for territory. In the New Testament, the angels fight for territory. Yeah, hear me. Or the spiritual beings. Because what he did, he said, the prince of Persia withheld me many days. And Anita told me this today. I had noticed. See, I told you, my Old Testament scholar, that Persia is the country that took over Babylon. I'm just saying. I can't go there now, but whoo, that's deep when you think about it. But he was held up. There's a war going on where? Here in the stratosphere. The answer had already been, he said, I didn't went, I was sent. So God sends, when the Holy Spirit, God sends a word to heaven, Jesus turns to the Father turns to the Son, angels go do your bidding. Are you following what I'm saying? Because if he is the Prince of Peace, right? He calls God the Father. Are you following me still? He has reigned over the kingdom. That's why he said, all what has been given to me.
Power.
And what's the other word? Big A word. Power and what?
Authority.
Authority. Legal access. Legal. All I got to do is say it because of what backs me up. Are you following what I'm saying? So the Son then turns to the battalion of the angelic hosts and says, okay, you heard the Father. Go. Are you following me still?
Yeah.
And so this is what, and what happens when God sends the word. God's trying to, and it says here about your heart, I think, and character. Chastening. It said the word chastening, didn't it?
Yeah.
God's trying to grow us, and the enemy's trying to discourage us in the meantime, which can be pretty mean if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of y'all have been praying for something and the breakthrough hadn't happened yet? We think the breakthrough is that, I got delivered. No, 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 no. The breakthrough, and you will get what you get, but you won't get what you get until there's a breakthrough in glory. Are you following me still? That's the power of prayer, is that we realize that the fight's not ours. He says, I was sent because you just set your heart. God, help. God, we need you. And God says, all right, I got this. Not only do I have this, I have you. He has you in mind. I mean, the angel said, you knew it was angel, because the angel said, fear not. Because angels, you know, obviously they weren't no little skinny, you know, creature with a bow and arrow. They were bowed up, or you wouldn't be scared. Fear not. No, it was, So, I mean, he told them, don't fear. God heard you. God not only heard you, but God's got you. That's a beautiful picture to me of what happens. And I can have confidence, even though I don't understand what I see right now. Because on earth, it hadn't hit this realm yet. It's still in the stratomai. Y'all got that?
Yeah.
Now, here's why Jesus lives a lifestyle of prayer. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I just wanted to give you a picture, because sometimes we forget that there's a reason why he came to earth to show us how to do it on earth. Watch how he does it, which is so cool. All right, he prayed in the morning for Mark 1:35. You can turn there if you choose. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, watch this, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Went off to a what?
Solitary.
Why? Because when you're around other people, it can be what?
Distracting.
See, the problem for most of us is to discern God's voice. Sometimes if you're in a room with a bunch of other people praying, and there's somebody that you know is a seasoned saint, it's like, oh boy, I don't pray like they pray. Am I not praying right? This is what it happens to new believers all the time. They don't want to pray because they don't feel like they're praying right. I said, baby, there ain't no way to not pray right. Just talk. God hears you. He got you. Because he hears your voice, Chanel. He hears your voice, Garrett. Because we're his children. Every parent, and especially if he's the breasted one, as we looked before, they know the voice of their child. Their baby cry, oh, no, 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 that's my baby. I know my baby's voice. You see what I'm saying? He knows your cry. He knows your cry. He knows your cry. And see, all of our cries are distinctly different. He knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it. Oh, and he hears it. He doesn't miss a thing. Ooh, it's a personal thing. But see, other voices sometimes can be intimidating. And sometimes it's hard to discern. Because you feel like, okay, all right. And then sometimes people are intimidated to pray, so they're just quiet in prayer. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. So, incognito. What? Okay. Jesus said, look at this verse. It's another verse. I think you have John 5:19. Is that there? Okay. Mark 1:35 in the morning. Well, it's still what? Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 1:35. Look at John 5:19. John 5:19. It says this. This is the one I love. I want somebody to read this one. John 5:19. Y'all all right? I'm still trying to watch my time. Oh, gosh, good God. We got to run. John 5:19. Who's got that? Truly I say to you, the Son can do what?
Nothing
of his own what?
Accord.
You see it? Authority. See the word again? Go ahead.
But only what he sees the Father doing.
Stop right there. Only what he what? Sees the Father doing. Now listen to me carefully. It did not say, listen. It did not call him the Christ there. Because he had not risen from the dead yet. Although the Christ was a spirit in him. But it used only Jesus here. Meaning his earthly self. Are you following me? He's letting you see a picture into the window of prayer. Jesus in his little earth suit. Because that's who they said, call your son Jesus. So in the earth suit, what Jesus did, he said, when I pray, he says, I don't do anything that I don't want the Father doing. Now, in your earth suit, when you pray, God didn't just bing, bing, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. Oh, wow. Okay. My watch must be super fast. Okay. Good. So when he prayed, right, he's praying in an earth suit. But it says, see, God didn't just show up in images right there. He saw it in his what? He's a human being. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the exact representation, I'm in the book, Hebrews chapter 1, of the image of God. When you pray, you can image things. But when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, hear this out, the Holy Spirit, he will reveal to you in the way he saw things in his mind. We saw it last week with Deuteronomy, you remember? Desert. You shall see how the Lord your God led you in the wilderness all these days to humble you, to test your heart, to see whether you keep the commandments of the Lord. And he caused you to hunger, and he fed you with manna from on high. All this is in his head, that you might know. Because he's seeing the scene of the children of Israel based on the desert of which he saw. Are you following me? He's probably praying about what he had seen during the day and what he's about to see during the day. So while he's praying and communing to God, God shows him, here's a picture of the woman at the well. Nobody else knew she was going to be there, but he was waiting on her. He knew she was coming. Why? He doesn't do anything but that which he doesn't see the Father do. God showed him in prayer, somebody's coming your way today. Are you following me? We think he did it just because he was the Son of God. No. He's showing us a picture of prayer and how God reveals things to us when we're in communion with him. But when you're not in communion with him, listen to me very carefully, because we live in such a world that there's bazillion distractions, that's why it said solitude. I mean, we got kids today. There's stuff happening in technology where other people can emulate you. There's cloning going on and roboticism and all kind of stuff happening. Other spirits operating, but there's one Holy Spirit. You will only know the Holy Spirit speaking to you in prayer if it coincides with the Word of God in prayer. Generally, when I pray out loud for people, when they tell me their need, Sandy, tell me one need that you have right now. One need.
Healing.
Healing. Father, I thank you. And I begin to wait. I thank you for Sandy's healing. And this happened to me one time because sometimes we try to drum it up. I'm going to show you the difference between drumming it up and the Holy Spirit bringing it up. I saw a man, Sandy, that had a crooked arm. I was in the arena at Rupp Arena. I was sharing the gospel with collegiate women athletes, mostly basketball players. So I'm at Rupp Arena, and they had a closed practice. I go in there, and this guy had a crooked elbow. And then he said, "Hey, lady, what you doing here?" I'm like, "Really?" I said, "I'm not a, you know, my name is Renee, and I'm here to talk to these young ladies about Jesus." He went, "Oh." And then he started cleaning, and we started talking. Long story short, his name was John, and John had been, he basically had backslidden. PK ran from home, got into drugs, got into a whole lot of stuff. They broke his arm, slit his tongue. That's why he talked with a lisp. Because he didn't have medical, he couldn't go get medical treatment, so he talked like this. And his arm was crooked. And so he told me a story, and then I just said, okay. And then Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance, that's his job, John 14:26. He brings to my remembrance that scripture in Luke about the prodigal son. I said, "Can I share a story with you?" "You can do anything you want to, ma'am." I said, "Okay, well, now I'm ma'am. I ain't, hey, lady." See, authority. No, I'm just kidding. But I start, I read the story to him. He starts to tear up a little bit. And I said, "John, do you think it's time for you to come home?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." We prayed right there. And after we prayed, this is what happened, Sandy. After we prayed, all I saw in my mind was his crooked elbow. And I knew God was challenging me to pray. I'm like, "Oh, no, we ain't going there. Not up in here in Rupp Arena. Oh, no. What if it doesn't work?" I mean, that's what was going on in my head. I said, "Oh, no, we ain't going there, no." And I just saw it again. I'm like, "Oh." And so finally I said, I start stuttering. I said, John, do you think that God could heal your arm? He said, "The Lord can do anything he wants to do." And then I'm like, "Okay, I'm stuck now." So I said, "Okay." So I start to pray, Sandy. I start thinking of every scripture of healing. Like, "Father, I thank you right now that by your stripes she's healed. Father, I thank you right now, Lord God." I'm quoting every scripture. And, "Father, I thank you that you sent your son," right? I mean, I'm quoting every healing scripture I could think of. And the Lord said, "Shh, be still and know that I am God." And I shut up. And I'm shaking. And then I heard this. And remember, I saw the Father do. I saw his arm. And I heard this verse, Sandy.
Yes.
And I don't know what the healing is. I don't know if it's blood or bone. I don't know what it is. You know, but God knows. And I said, "Father," because the scripture came to my head. I don't even know where it was. And it said, "Father, I thank you. You heal all thy bones, and none of them are broken." When I said broken, that bone popped in place. I went, "Oh, it worked." I mean, I freaked out. I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, he's crying. I'm crying. The arena is empty because the girls have gone back to the locker room. I'm supposed to present. I'm late. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." I mean, I'm shaking. He's shaking. He's crying. I said, "I gotta go." I said, "John," I said, "Straighten your arm." He went, "Jesus." I'm like, "Oh," I about passed out, slain in the Holy Ghost. I had to go teach. I'm like, "Oh, Jesus." I go downstairs, I get in there, and then Debbie's looking at me. They're waiting on me. Coach Barmore, you know, back in the day, pardon me. And I was only about 3 minutes late, but still, you know. I get back to her apartment that night. She goes, "Renee, where were you today? Why were you late? I knew you had all your stuff down here in your eyes." I said, "Debbie," I said, "you know that guy, John, that cleans up in the arena?" "Oh, yeah, the one with the crooked arm and the one that has a lisp." I said, "That arm ain't crooked no more." But that was the only time, personally, that I saw an instantaneous miracle. And I learned then, listen to me carefully, how to wait on the word and pray the scripture. So when my kids bring things up, and traveling. I mean, certain scriptures come right out of my belly. I just start praying for them. Father, I thank you that you sent an angel before them to guard them along the way into the place of which you prepared for them. Father, I thank you that greater is he that's in her than he was in the world. She's more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and her ailment will not keep her from doing what you've given her and called her to do. Father, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is her strength. Laughter is real to you, and a lot of that is your strength. We'll talk about this in a little bit, that oxytocin, it releases that. It helps our mind. Another day, another talk. But I want you to know, God does still speak, but sometimes we're distracted. That's why we have to go into solitude. Amen? Whew. Yes, sir, please. Yes, question.
It's interesting that you said that about when you're praying. Isn't it funny, when I say funny, not meaning an ha-ha, that...
Can you hear him? Speak up.
Isn't it funny that when you said you were praying, and then when you're praying, you're trying to force it, and then all of a sudden you just stop? That does happen, that you just stop, and it's like, okay, God, what are you really saying? Because this woman need to be healed, or this person. That's really interesting that he does that, because we're trying to do it in our own strength.
That's right.
Opposed to Jesus saying, I don't do anything that I see the Father doing first.
I think he said that. And the Holy Spirit, remember, handpicks what's written to get our attention, to say it's not about because you do X, Y, and Z. You've got to see the Father do it. And the only see that we see him do it comes right out of here. He'll remind you of a text. He'll remind you of scripture that was spoken. It might have been a preacher said that verse. Or the story will come to mind that reminds you of a scripture. Are you following what I'm saying? One of the reasons I pray the scripture, I saw a man do this and it blessed my heart so much. Every time he gave a word to people, it was just scripture coming out of his belly. I said, I want that. Because the word is life-giving. And if I am not here tomorrow, the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. It's not, you know, just, well, I think if you turn around five times, I believe God's going to give you a new car, a new house. You know what I mean? No. But you begin to hear the voice of God, because his word is it says when you know the truth, it'll set you what? Yes. Amen? It's knowing it. So, hallelujah. Coming aside, now watch this. Jesus said, I don't do anything, she just read it to us, that I don't see the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. You see it? He didn't say the Christ. He's letting you know he was still in his earth suit. He's teaching us that we are the sons of God, we do also. But you only do what you see him do. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? Any other questions, thoughts, comments? Members class, you can ask questions.
Lord, help me. When he gave out the gifts, and the one that said, I put it in the ground because I know who you were,
talents.
And it always puzzled me, why do you say if you knew who he was, why would you put it in the ground? Because then God said to him, if you knew who I was, why would you do that?
Right.
So it just brought back to, I keep going back to that one talent. Don't lose that. Use your gifting. Use your talent. Don't be afraid.
Know who he is.
That's it. If you knew me, you'd know this is all good.
Right.
It's in knowing him. Amen? And you only know him by communing with him. Amen? Acts 13:2. While God directs us concerning his will for our lives, we receive our marching orders. Amen? During prayer. Go to Acts 13:2. Says, where am I at? Okay. Oh, actually, come on back. My bad. I jumped ahead. Y'all all right? Hang on. I jumped ahead. So, he prayed, right, in solitude. We know he prayed alone. Mark 6:46. I'm sorry, I got to stick with your sheet so I don't jump around on you. I think we struggle because of noise and distraction. We live in a world with noise and distraction. We talked about the phone last time and all those things. And it's hard sometimes to be in silence and solitude. Sometimes we come home, we turn on the TV, or we turn on the radio, or we turn on worship music. Sometimes we have a real difficult time being still and quiet. And I think God's going to challenge us to come back to that place where we learn how to be still in his presence. There's more discussion later on. You'll see this in this. So, he prayed with his disciples, Luke 9:28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter and John and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. Now, he went up to a mountain to pray, but not just to pray, but he wanted them to see him in his glorified form. That's when he began to reveal to them, remember, the heavens opened up, this is my beloved son, listen to him. We call it the Mount of what? Transfiguration. They got to see him in another form. to recognize that he was who he said that he was. But he also taught them about that God will speak when you get still in his presence. All right? Luke 9:28, that's the one I just read. Luke 11:1-2. I love this because I tell you, there was a man years ago wrote a book called Lord Teach Us to Pray. You know what he did? He just stepped you all the way through the Lord's Prayer. His name was Larry Lee, Dr. Larry Lee. And everybody was on to that years ago. And it was so powerful because he walked you through the model prayer. And it's not the token prayer that people pray sometimes, like, okay, we're going to pray. Sports teams do this a lot, and they just quote the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, whoo, they don't even know what they're saying. But at least they're praying, you know? But what he's doing, he's setting it up. He says, when you pray, pray our Father. Come to him like a child would to their father who art in heaven. We hallow your name. Lift him up. Because why? He inhabits the praises of his people. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? As it is in heaven. And that's the piece that leads you to have that broken heart for other people. Because you start to see where God needs to yet move on earth. Amen? So you can... Yeah, could you not tarry 1 hour with me? Yeah, Larry Lee. Yeah, that was rich. I still have that little raggedy book. I got it. Okay, but that's what happened to me, y'all. I was a consumer of the word. Y'all, I got to travel the world and preach the gospel. Y'all, large crowds. But you know my day job? I'm a school teacher. God will pluck you up, send you out. And see, sometimes like, well, I just can't wait to get into full-time ministry. And God said, daughter, you're in full-time ministry right now. You teach school. Amen. Do what I give you to do. And every now and then I give you these opportunities. Amen. And it's fun. It is. I ain't gonna lie. But it's laborsome, too. I come back and I'm like, oh. Okay.
It's amazing. We were just talking about that this morning. We just came back from my trip earlier this morning. My daughter was saying, nothing about the church, but we're going to church so much. But the church is a way to get learned, but also healing, and then get back out there. Because if you're a mother, mother. If you're a father, father. If you work in your business established, be a servant of the business.
Do what you do. Because, look, if thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? You know, there are spheres on the earth that God has called people to. You know, and if we run from all these places trying to get in the pulpit, trying to get a place where we can preach, trying to go with everybody on every evangelistic trip, but your gift and your calling and your anointing is a neurosurgeon, you better go do neurosurgery. It will make room for you. And then it says, and set you before great men. God will exalt you. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you when? In due what? Due season. Sometimes you're not ready to go. Just because you know a lot don't mean you're ready to go. He knows what to do. Sit down, Doc. He'll tell you, right? I feel you, Sandy. I know that's true. People have no idea. 8 years. A lot of people were doing full-time ministry. And the people I was leading to the Lord, you know, and praying for them to get filled with the Holy Ghost, they were leading home groups and all this and that. And all I could do in my mind, because I devalued my gift of teaching. All I do is teach high school. God said, you better stop that. You better stop that. That's right. God knows. Woo. Okay. All right. So, do you believe there's benefits to prayer? Amen. We learn to depend on God and not on who? We just talked about this. Ourselves. Amen. God directs us, number two, concerning his will for our lives. We receive our marching orders during, that's what I was reading earlier. We receive our marching orders during our time of prayer. That's good news. Amen. And we know that because Acts 13:2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So the Spirit spoke. You see it? The Holy Spirit said. Don't you know other spirits can speak? That's why I said the Holy Spirit said. That's good news. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. You see, the Holy Spirit said, now it's time. He didn't decide, okay, I'm going to pick you, you, and you. And we're going to go right now. He waited, and the Holy Spirit said, I've set apart them for right now. Because sometimes we think, remember when Samuel came, who was he going to anoint? Because he thought, oh, surely he's the man of God. Look at him. He was going to anoint Jesse, right? You know, God's, this is so powerful. The Bible says the anointing oil stopped. He stopped the oil from pouring. I'm like, whoo. God said, oh, no. Man looks on the outward appearance, but I look upon the, he said his what? Heart. David was a man who set his heart toward God. God said, he's the one. And see, they didn't believe he was the one. He was still outside, smelling like sheep. And they had to go get him. You see, all the other guys knew that he was coming and they were dressed and prepared. See, when others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. Amen? God saw a king. So he will set people apart. Following, there are several other examples. We read in Daniel how God will move when we pray. Amen? Acts 10:30-32, it says this. 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house, and behold, what was he doing? Praying where? Not at the church. Where? In his house. So it's a personal thing. It's a private thing. Amen. It's a lifestyle thing. I was praying in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard by God. Send to Joppa, invite Simon to come to you. He is staying in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. Do you know that Cornelius was not born again? He just was a religious praying man. He set his heart. He wanted to know something about this God. God sent an angel to him. Remember? Peter comes. Remember, that's the family that got baptized. The whole household. Say, you shall be saved in your whole household. Because the leader set his heart to cry out to God. That's so awesome. Whew, mercy. All right. Acts 22:17-18, it says, and it came about when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance. And I saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. Sometimes God has to knock you out to get your attention. That's what he did to Peter because Peter was still dealing with prejudice. God put him on a roof, put him in a trance to say, no, 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 no. I am no respecter of persons. And then he comes back and he tells the people in Acts chapter 10, after God put him in the trance on the roof, Peter, this is a different scene, and he tells them, God has shown me that he is no respecter of persons. God had to show him. So when I pray for different people and they're trying to pray for this racial reconciliation thing and, you know, we got to do this and we got to do that, I say, you better be praying. Because God's the only one that can turn somebody's heart. You can do an act and have an event, and then go back to your natural stuff. I said, you know what hearts are really changed? Around the dinner table. Bring people in your house. Invite them to dinner. And keep inviting them to dinner. I've got somebody who calls me his friend almost every day. That man didn't even know that my mother lived here. My mother's been living here for 11 years. You know? You get to know somebody by spending time with somebody. Not having events with those people. Are you following what I'm saying? You've got to get to know people by spending time with them. Amen? So, just saying. God can put you in a trance. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Your next set. God directs us concerning his will for our lives. Amen. We just read that in Acts 13:2. Right? God strengthens us against the adversary. Woo. 1 Samuel 36. Can I read that to you? You can go there if you want to, but I want to read it to you. Can I read it to you? Now, we already talked about what he does. Our adversary is going to come after us because he's the shepherd. The wolf comes after us. He takes care of us. Amen? Look at this. 1 Samuel 27. David and his men. Is that the one? 1 Samuel 36. My bad. 36. David was greatly distressed. He was what? Distressed. How many of y'all have been distressed? Y'all have been distressed? Maybe it's just me. Because the men, look at this, were talking about stoning him. Y'all? Let's make it modern day. Modern day. People stone us, throw darts at us, cut us up with their tongue. Yeah. Stuff they say. And that can be hurtful. So that thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I don't think that's true. I think it's a lie. Because words are very damaging. That's why Jesus said you don't use them frivolously. Amen? So David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was what? This is so powerful. Highlight it. Bitter in what? Spirit. Because of his sons and daughters. But David found what? Strength in the Lord his God. Every now and then you find your strength in him. It also says in another passage where David encouraged himself in the Lord. If being in the presence of God is like a seed developing because it got the water of the word, stay with me, use a plant analogy, and then it needs sunlight. What's a benefit of sunlight? I had to learn this because I didn't want to just take a pill for it.
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D. Any other benefit of sunlight? What's so powerful about vitamin D? It helps your what?
Your bones.
Yep. It gives calcium. Now watch this. Vitamin D helps your framework. Are you with me? Paul prayed for many that they would be strengthened in their inner man. Are you following me? Sometimes we are bent over in the spirit, and we need to get in the presence of God to strengthen our backbone in Him. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we be in the presence of God so that we can stand up and not have what I call spiritual rickets. When we have a vitamin D deficiency, we can have as children of God, stay with me, little children, my pediatrician's in the room, they can suffer a shattering break if they jumped off, you know, a rock like this, if they had a severe case of rickets. Are you with me? We have to spend time in the presence of God because it strengthens us in our inner man. Amen? Y'all need to take a stress break? You good? Everybody good? Stand up. Take a stress break. I feel like we've been just running this morning. A lot of material. You just have the words. There's a lot of stuff up here. Amen? Almost done. We're going to bring it home. Any questions or thoughts right now? Who's learned something fresh today? Anybody?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor one thing you learned. One thing you learned. And we're almost done.
That I remember from 21 days of prayer, that always stands out for me. That stands out when I pray, because I believe it's answered.
Okay, tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Tell somebody something you learned. One thing. Tell your neighbor. I'll be your neighbor. You two can be neighbors. You two can be neighbors. They got a neighbor. When you tell each other, it strengthens you. It strengthens you. What did you learn? It strengthens you. Something that you learned. Something that was helpful. All right. All right. Let's wrap up. We got a little more to go. We're done. I pray this has been helpful to you. One of the things that's so powerful is once you learn about something and then you go do it, it strengthens you all the more, you know? When I learn new things, I usually go share what I learn, you know, and it's like, woof, like today, Persia, woof. Sometimes, like I said, there's this territorial warfare that goes on a lot. Not that we have to go, you know, some people think you got to take your plane up high so you can be closer in the heavenly. Really? No, just kidding. But God hears us on earth. Amen? He's trying to set that picture, and that's what Jesus modeled for us, which is so powerful. Okay, as we wrap this up, I'd like to jump down to the role of solitude in the life of prayer. We talked a lot about this already, so I'm just going to go through this. Solitude is the voluntary withdrawal from normal human interaction and activity for spiritual purposes. There is every now and then where you've got to set aside time just for you and the Lord. Apart from everybody, not listening to a teaching tape, not listening to word, just get still, get in the word, ask God to speak to you. Because you have to get yourself in a habit of training yourself to hear the voice of God rather than other people. Sometimes we parrot other people's sermons, you know. And you need to hear for yourself so that God strengthens you. Because when you get in trouble, what's in you comes out of you.
Yes.
Amen. So get it in you so that can come out of you. We practice solitude in order to hear God's voice. We've already talked about this. Amen. In 1 Kings 19, 11 and 13, I'll just read it for you. It gives you a picture of this. It says, "The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. After the earthquake came the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire." This is Elijah. Remember the story of Elijah? The Lord wasn't in the fire. The Lord wasn't in the loud noise or the thunder, but he came in a still, small voice, in a whisper. And sometimes you don't hear a whisper because you're too busy. Sorry, I know me. And the other thing that's so dangerous sometimes is when you're hearing other people talking, sometimes you tend to lean into, wow, that was such a good word, and you meditate on that word.
Yeah.
What was God trying to tell you? I can't say it enough that what's in you is what comes out of you. I can't say that enough. We practice solitude to be restored physically and spiritually. Amen? The hardest thing for most Christians to do, because we want to be used of God, is to rest. To rest. I know, I'm a chief culprit. I don't rest well. I have to keep learning. And you keep learning. If your lifestyle changes, you've got to find those ways to rest. Amen? Because there's healing in rest. We practice solitude to maintain a spiritual perspective. Sometimes we think being spiritual is having the gift of the gab. But really, it's you just being quiet in his presence. So, sorry. Sometimes it's the one that doesn't say anything. But then when they have something to say, whew, it's like E.F. Hutton. And that's what happens. When you can be still, God will tell you when it's time to speak. Because remember, we do nothing. If we're sons, like he was a son, we do nothing but that which we see the Father doing. He'll speak to you. That's his job. He wants to get to know you. Amen. Let's look at this last little piece, which is, we talked a little bit about it, is intercessory prayer. Amen. You see where it says intercession requires empathy and compassion? In Matthew 9:36, if you were to look at the text, Jesus is talking, and I used a picture at the very beginning. What was the picture I used? The little sheep or the wolf, remember? Sometimes we forget that this is God's world, amen? In intercession, when it requires that, it's talking about Jesus a lot of times. He'll look and he sees, because people in the world without God, he says they're like what? Sheep without a what? So if sheep don't have a shepherd, they're what? They're scattered, they're lost, they're confused. And you know what an enemy does to sheep? He does. He separates them. He wants to isolate them. And then he wants to pounce on them when he isolates them. We flock together for a reason, because sheep tend to follow the sheep's tail in front of them. And hopefully the sheep in front of you is following the shepherd. But every sheep, we said this in Wednesday night, if they belong to the true shepherd, the good shepherd, they know his voice, and a stranger's voice, it says, they will not follow. A stranger's voice, they will not follow. But you will not follow a stranger's voice until you know the good shepherd's voice. Are you following me? You can discern between the two. And the interesting thing about this is that when we are following that shepherd, here's what a lion will do, or an animal like a wolf. A lion will roar. And what he does, his roar can be projected. And that you can literally hear it as though it's here. Because he can project from here to that rock there. And that you think the voice is coming from there while you're backing into the mouth of the enemy. And that's why it says your adversary, the devil, does what? Roams around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we have to understand that he roars to scatter us, projects his voice, and we're confused. And God is not the author of confusion. So we've got to stop long enough to try and hear that shepherd's voice. And if you don't hear his voice, keep crying out until you do. Amen? Cry out. Read his word. Ask God to speak. He will. Intercession requires empathy and compassion. That word is, compassion is splunknomai. It means from the bowels. The Bible says that whoever drinks of the water that I have to give, he'll never thirst again, but out of his what? Belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he spoke that as he spoke of the Spirit. So when you're moved with compassion, out of your belly, the Holy Spirit gives you compassion. And when it's a God-birthed compassion, guess what? God's the one that satisfies that. You just have to ask him to do what he's already shown you, which he said he will do, if you're moved with compassion. That's what Jesus said here. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Watch this. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to, watch this, send out workers into the harvest. He didn't say pray for the sheep. He said, ask him for workers. We need people that'll go out. We need a Gavin. We need a Grant. We need a Sandy. We need a Anita. We need people to go out and go get those lost sheep. Amen? Okay. Compassionate heart. You'll be moved with compassion. Move means you got to move, but you got to be still before you can move. See, because when you're still and then you move, you actually move. Hey, I don't get that. Okay. God did not seek a man who was distant from the people. He wanted to reach. He sought someone among them. Amen? And that's what he'll do with us. So usually the sheep that are lost are the ones that are in your general sphere of influence. You don't have to go find them. You don't have to go to Baja. You can go to Baja. But you got people right in your sphere of influence every single day that need a word from the Lord. The problem is, we're too busy trying to get ready for that big thing God wants to use us for. And we forget about the day-to-day. But you know what? That's where he trains you, is in the day-to-day. That's where he trained me, in the day-to-day. Teaching high school. Being a coach. I learned more in teaching and coaching about ministry than I've ever learned from... I told you, I'm not seminary trained. But I've sat up under some of the most brilliant teachers. And I can read. You can read a book. Amen? That's all you do there. You read the books and they teach you from the book. That's all they do. You paying good money. No, I'm just kidding. If God tells you to go, you better go. But what I'm saying to you is that the Spirit of God can be your teacher. As we wrap this up, amen, I pray you've been blessed today. Intercession is motivated and maintained by a lifestyle of Great Commission activity. God tells all of us to go, and usually it's in your own sphere of influence. That's where it starts, right there in your own backyard. Intercession requires persistent, unwavering faith. Amen? First Corinthians, old mother of the church, used to sing that song, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Amen? Your labor is not in vain. God sees it. God will move with you. He goes before you. And I love the fact, Ezekiel, it says, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap. That doesn't mean the male species man. It means mankind, because the way God operates on earth is through earthen vessels. Amen? To give him glory on earth as it is in heaven. He wants you and I, really, to just come face to face with him in prayer. Halal your Father. Amen? Because you enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Spend time with him daily. Even if it's 5 minutes. Don't say, oh, I'm going to spend an hour a day. You won't spend an hour if you haven't spent 10 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. Start with whatever you need to start with, but do it consistently. Amen? Because when you do, he'll meet you. He'll meet with you. Thy kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Sometimes our problem in prayer is that we pray, we go by our wants, and we beg for our needs, you know? He says, I will give you what you need daily. That's why he says, don't worry. Don't worry. I ain't got time to get into that. Next week, maybe. But anyway, I pray that you heard something. And think about whatever that big obstacle is in your life, that thing that keeps you from solitude. That's the thing you've got to come take before the Lord and ask the Lord to help you settle yourself so that you can be still and hear his voice. Amen? Amen. I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you are encouraged. I pray that you continue to have that buddy. I tell my students all the time, and I told my women's Bible study, I'll close with this, is that every one of us needs stretcher bearer friends. Amen? When you're crippled, don't feel like you can get to Jesus. You need somebody who will carry you to him when you can't get to him yourself. Think about who those people are. I told you one of my friends is here. Anita, my mother's over here. My sister's over here. I got several women in Bible study and other people around. I always have people that I know me well enough to carry me to Jesus when I can't get there on my own. I want people praying for me. I want people praying for me. But people that I know me. But more importantly, that I know him. Amen? I pray you are blessed. Amen? May the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent from one another. Amen? All righty.